For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you. Albeit this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. Verse 20 once again says, and Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. Boy, so many times in our Christianity, in our lives today, many things are held back because of our unbelief. For verily I say unto you, the Lord says, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. We know that we are to have a mountain moving faith in our lives today. We want you to turn back to Numbers chapter 13 as we will look at a very familiar story. Many of you are probably very, very familiar with. And it talks about our faith, and it talks about the faith of the children of Israel. Faith in believing and following the Lord. Along that way, we may have faith, and maybe even our family members will have faith, but sometimes the people around us have very little faith, and they doubt everything, and they question everything, and sometimes we find ourselves in that same situation as well. But I want you to look at the story, really, this morning of the spies, and we're going to see how the Lord leads here. We've got a few thoughts that we want to share with you, and that the Holy Spirit, I believe, will speak to our hearts and each and every one. So we'll start here in Numbers chapter 13, look at verse 1. And we're talking about this subject of mountain moving faith. Verse 1 says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, send thou men, that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel. And these were their names: of the tribe of Reuben, Shammua, the son of Zachar; of the tribe of Simeon, Shaphat, the son of Hori; of the tribe of Judah, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh; of the tribe of Issachar, Igal, the son of Joseph; of the tribe of Ephraim, Oshea, the son of Nun. For those who may not know, Moses, in just a moment, calls him Joshua. In verse 9, of the tribe of Benjamin, Palti, the son of Rephu; of the tribe of Zebulun, Gadiel, the son of Zaudi; of the tribe of Joseph, namely of the tribe of Manasseh, Gadi, the son of Sushi; of the tribe of Dan, Amiel, the son of Gamali; of the tribe of Asher, Zether, the son of Michael; of the tribe of Naphtali, Nabdi, the son of Bapshi; and of the tribe of Gad, Gil, the son of Maki. These are the names of the men which Moses sent to spy out the land. And Moses called Oshea, the son of Nun, Jehoshua. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the time you've given us this morning and the privilege to be able to open your word, to be able to study it today. Help us, Lord, to have a mountain-moving faith. And these men, the children of Israel that went forth, Lord, 12 of them went forth to spy out the land that Moses commanded them to go and to spy and to see. Lord, we know the end result. Lord, and at least when they spied this out, the report that came back. But Lord, we also know the end result, the future of what would happen some 40 years later. Lord, we just pray in a special way that you would help us, Lord, not to have that time in between, that dead time, if you will, in between of just wandering, but that we would have that time in our lives where we would take what you tell us to do, take it by faith, accept it by faith, and just to walk through those doors, to climb those mountains, Lord, that need to be climbed, and Lord, to spend the time in the valley that needs to be there in the valley as well. I pray that you would just help us to, as we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that we would fear no evil and we would keep our eyes on you. I thank you for the children of Israel here who were at least willing to go and to spy this land out. And of course, fear fell upon them, much like it does us today. Many times it keeps us from doing exactly what you've called us to do. Help us to have the faith to move mountains, Lord. Just have that little grain of mustard seed that, Lord, we would just trust you and walk through the doors you've given us to walk through. Thank you for the folks that are here. I thank you for those that are within the sound of my voice today, Lord, and I pray that this would be an encouraging message to them for 2019 as we step into this new year. May, Lord, we not go backwards as a people, not go backwards as a church, but may we go forward for your glory and for your honor. May we be the vessels unto honor that you would have us to be. Lord, maybe there's still some molding and making in the potter's house that needs to be done in our lives, and we'd ask that you would do that this morning. Convict us, challenge us, and give us the charge, Lord, to go forward for you. We do thank you for these men, Lord, even though 10 of their reports was bad, but 2 was good. But, Father, we do thank you that they were at least willing to go. And, Lord, we thank you especially for the 2 that have the good report. And how in the long run, Father, we see the answer to their prayer and the answer to their plea. And I thank you for Moses and for his example and his testimony in leading the children of Israel. The great task that he had, Father, we can be very pick on him. We can look at some of his shortcomings and maybe even cast judgment if we're not careful. But, Father, we just ask that you would help us to realize that this was a man of faith who was willing to step out by faith and follow you and lead these people. And as he said in his life as well, a rebellious people. And you've said so many times through your word, a rebellious people. But Lord, you were still there to lead. And you're still here to lead us today, even though we at times are a rebellious people as well. Father, help us to follow you. Bless this time. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. The first thing I want you to see here this morning is the men. I want you to consider the men that God chooses, that Moses chooses. And it says in verse 2, it says, "Send thou men, that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel." God says he's going to give it unto the children of Israel. It's a gift. It's a promise. It's something that God says, "I'm going to do. I will give it unto the children of Israel. And of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them." In verse 16, it says, "These are the names of the men which Moses sent to spy out the land." And Moses called Hoshea, the son of Nun, Jehoshua. Joshua being one of my favorite characters in the Bible. And I love Caleb as well. We don't have a lot really on either one of them, except we do have a little more on Joshua, of course, because we have the book of Joshua. And Joshua was leading the children of Israel later on in life after Moses goes to be with the Lord. And he was 120 years old, still in good health and strong and all those things. And God takes him home. He does not get to go into the promised land. However, Joshua does. And so we kind of understand and see the end result of what will happen. Well, what God needs today is some men, and if you will today, let me add in there women. He needs some men and some women today who will be willing to go and to seek out what the Lord has for each and every one of us. We have to be willing to go to our hands and knees. We have to be willing to come to the house of God. We have to be willing to prepare our hearts to let God do something special in our lives. God wants a church. There's a church sitting here at 8184 Peach Street, in Erie, Pennsylvania, that God wants to use and God wants to prepare for 2019. God wants to lead and guide, and he wants to help us in the areas where we lack faith, in the areas where we lack understanding. God wants to give us wisdom. God wants to give us guidance and direction. But he wants us to be willing to go. Willing to go, but also willing to stay. If God would call us to stay, he wants us to stay. If he would call us to go, he wants us to go. But he'd call us to be faithful in every area, in every aspect. God needs some men. We're looking for a few good men today at Southside Baptist Church. We're looking for a few good women, a few good teenagers today, who would be willing to further the cause of Christ, who would be willing to continue to carry the torch for the Lord Jesus Christ. And as Moses calls these men, and of the tribes, each tribe sends a man, there goes out 12 men to go and to spy out a land that is flowing with milk and honey, the Bible says. God has something special for every one of us. He's got something special for our families. He's got something special for our church family. God has a plan. God has a purpose. There's nothing that comes as a surprise to our God. There is no mountain that is there that God does not know about. There is nothing that we face. You may say today you're going to face some things in 2019. that we don't know what's going to happen when these things happen, when this comes to place. We don't know. And that's to be true. Every one of us, none of us know exactly what's going to happen. We come into a different phase many times of our lives, a different situation, a different circumstance. And at that point in time, maybe we need a little more faith than what we might have right now. At that point in time, maybe we need a little more grace. And God gives us that grace and God gives us that direction. And as God leads us to go search out that land, I promise you there is a land here in Erie, Pennsylvania, in Erie County, that needs searched out. There are giants in this land, I promise you. There are giants in this land. There are big battles that we must face on a daily basis. That giant may be your workplace. That giant may be the next move or your next home. Or that giant may be, you know, sending your child off to college. Or is some big giant that you may be facing in 2019. Something that you've never faced before. If you're like me, moving into 2018, maybe you're about to face that giant of 40 years old. Maybe you're about to join or face that giant of being 50 or 60 or 70. Or some age where maybe at some point in time in your life you dreaded. Oh no, it's the dreaded whatever age it may be. And this year, that's what I'm going to turn. I'll be this or I'll be that. You may fear that. There's a giant today that you will face. That giant is going to be there, but yet the Bible says that God called these men to go and search out the land. When we inevitably call people to search out the land, it's amazing. You know, we can come back from a Great Commission day where we were witnessing or a day of visitation that we might go out, and you'll have different perspectives. You'll have different perspectives. One person says, well, we went out and nobody said they were coming to church. You know, and the other person says, well, at least they talk to us. So you have different perspectives and different ideals on what happens. Hey, I handed out that tract and I turned around and they were at least reading it. The next place you may go, you'll hand out a tract at Walmart and you'll find it on the floor or in the trash can. Those different giants sometimes, and we tend to believe that if somebody takes a track and throws it on the in the trash or throws it on the ground, then they've disgraced us or they have done something against us. And that mountain in our lives becomes very large sometimes, very difficult. But God calls us to go. Is it really worth it? Is it really worth it? I know there's a church in our from close to my mom and dad's that has a sign up that says, we've been serving the Savior for 125 years. That's something, 125 years. Southside Baptist Church has been here for 40 years, going on our 41st anniversary in the month of June. And God has blessed, and we've had some men and some women by faith who have conquered some mountains and who have went on some journeys to spy out some lands. There's a land, there's a country, there's a people, there's a neighborhood around you dying on their way to hell that needs Jesus. There's an opportunity for each and every one of us. Many times, if we're not careful, we'll allow the mountains or the valleys or the streams or the creeks or the rivers or the lakes or the ocean to get in our way. But yet God wants us to go. God wants us to tell. God wants us to compel them to come in. And see, God had a purpose for the children of Israel. They didn't understand what their purpose was necessarily 100%. Even though God tells Moses, I'm going to send you to a land that I'm going to give you. There had to be some men to spy out that land. Go see what's there. Go see what's going on in that land. Go check it out. There's probably Christmas lights and different things like that this year that maybe you saw and you encouraged someone else to go. Go check this out. You got to see this. You may even have told somebody, go down to such and such store, and they got a great deal down there. And by the time those people got down there, they didn't either have any left or there was no great deal anymore. But there was something you were excited about to tell somebody about. Go spy this out. Go look at this. Go check it out. The men that God used to go spy out this land. Not only do we see the men this morning, but we see the mission. The mission that God gives is to go spy out the land. In verse 17, we also see, and Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said unto them, get you up, this way southward and go up into the mountain. The men and the mission. God has a mission for these men to go spy out this land. Go check it out. Go see what's going on. And as God goes up, and he eventually allows Moses to go up into the mountain as well and to be able to look across the land of Canaan, to be able to see what his future generations would inherit, what they would have to go and conquer. It's amazing. God says he'll give it, but he's not going to give it without manpower. He's not going to give it without fulfilling that mission. In the book of Joshua, we find that the children of Israel had to go into this land, and they had to conquer the giants, and they had to conquer the enemy to be able to receive and accept this land, to be able to get this land. God had a purpose. He had a mission. He has a mission for Southside Baptist Church, a mission to be able to be a witness and a testimony, to be a lighthouse in a lost and dying world. God has a mission for you to serve him. In whatever capacity God has called you to serve him, God wants you to be faithful in that ministry, in that mission that God gives us. Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said unto them, get you up this way, southward. Moses sends them on a mission. And as they go on this mission, God sends them on this mission, and Moses leads them to this mission. Go southward. This is a land that God has promised us. I want you to notice the mission that God puts us on, and he puts us on a mission today to win the lost at any cost. But I want you to also notice in that same chapter, in that same verse, it says, and go up into the mountain. There is one thing about this I thought about. I considered number three, the mountain. We've already talked a lot about the mountain. But there's something very interesting about a mountain. What's interesting to me about a mountain is it's obviously very beautiful. Mountains are beautiful. But to get to the top of those mountains, it takes work. It takes a lot of hard work. We have a cemetery just right up above my mom and dad's house, and I don't know what the grade as far as how steep the hill is. I can't even imagine what it must have been like getting bodies, getting caskets up to the top of that hill. The hill literally is about like this. It's pretty much straight up. It's just, and they took a team of horses. This was back in the mid 1800s. They took a team of horses up there and carried the caskets up there and buried the folks up there. I don't know. There must be 50, 75 tombstones up there, something like that, tombstones up there. Some of the tombstones are so big, I can't even fathom how they got them up there. They're so big. So not only bringing the casket up there, but bringing those tombstones of special rock to get up there to be used for that's amazing. And my daughter and I, Alexis and I, walked up that hill once again. When I was a kid, I used to run up that hill. Now I can't run up that hill anymore. We used to run up that hill because we would sled ride on that hill. We were a little creepy when we were kids. We sled ride in the graveyard, you know. But anyway, it's a beautiful, it's an amazing hill. And I'm telling you what, you could fly going down that hill. It was a lot of fun. But going up that hill, I could feel my quads. That's what's in the front, right? Not your quads. Man, they were burning. Trying to go up that hill. And I thought, whose idea was it to walk up this hill? And it dawned on me, it was my idea. I thought, what in the world was I thinking walking up this hill? I had my cowboy boots on. I thought, man, I should have a pair of tennis shoes on walking up this hill. I should have my warm-up pants on, and I should have my exercise stuff on. I just had a bunch of old duds on. Boy, I got up there. I said, my legs are burning. I'm tired. I just wanted to take a few breaths. I was out of breath by the time I got up there. So what are you trying to say? You don't get to the top of the mountain without hard work. You don't just, I'm going to go up into that mountain. You imagine as a soldier and as a spy trying to go up into that mountain without being seen. You might have had to crawl up that mountain. They might have had to stay low. It's amazing what sometimes you have to do to get where you want to be. If you want to retire someday, you better work first. You with me? You're going to have to do some work. And you can drive around. I drive around my neighborhood where my mom and dad live, and And it's pretty barren, really, in some ways, as far as that. There's not a lot of people out there, not a lot of houses out there. But you drive around, you see some nice houses, you say, wow, wonder what they had to do. And you find out that they worked someplace for 50 years. They worked there hard. It took them a long time to get to where that. Before they built the house that they live in now, they used to live in a trailer. They used to live in a dump. They used to live in an old cabin for 20 years. And then all of a sudden, God, you know, blessed them. And they made enough money, saved up enough money where they could build a nice place. We live in a society where we want something for nothing. We don't want to do any work, but we want the nice things. We don't want to work hard for it, but we want to be our needs to be met. I'm going to tell you, they couldn't get up into that mountain. I'm going to tell you, the view is beautiful on the mountain. If you ever been on a real mountain, the view is beautiful. When I was a kid, we used to be able to go up on that hill. It's not a mountain, it's just a hill, and it's a pretty good size hill. But we used to be able to go up on that hill by those gravestones, and we used to be able to watch the fireworks in Coshocton. We used to be able to see for miles and miles. Well, now all the trees are grown up. The trees are all grown up, and you can't see for miles and miles anymore. Still a pretty view, but you can't see quite as far as you used to. But by the time you get up to the top of that mountain, you're wore out, you're out of breath. That's life. Sometimes in life, you know, we think we're going to get somewhere. I'm going to get to that big house on the hill. But I'm going to tell you, it takes work to get there. It takes hard work. It takes perseverance. Sometimes it takes loss to get there. A lot of people end up building a nice fancy house after their mom and dads die. Or their grandparents pass on and leave them some kind of inheritance. But guess what? It's hard work when you have to lose a family member. You know what? I'd much rather take the family member than the finances. Sure, it's nice, but in reality, you'd rather have you'd trade it all for your mom or dad back. I don't want that money. I could care less about that money. It took hard work, though, for them to save it up and to prepare. And the same thing works and happens in Christianity today. We can't expect for great things to happen in the house of God. We can't expect for great things to happen at Vacation Bible School. We can't expect for great things to happen on Sunday mornings or Sunday afternoons or Wednesday evenings if we're not willing to climb the mountains. Oh, but everybody wants to be on top of the mountain to see the view. The mountain, it's a big mountain. It's a big task. It's a big challenge. You think about these mountains today, and many of these mountains have ski lifts and different things to be able to go up the mountains, and they may have some, you know, other way, or they may be able to fly you up there on a helicopter or those type of things, but it still took hard work to get there. You may be able to sit in a chair, you may be able to sit on a seat, but somebody had to build that lift. Somebody had to put it there. Somebody had to cut down the trees, probably a lot of somebody's. Somebody had to build that train. Somebody had to put forth some effort and some hard work. Somebody had to go up there to build the resort or the cabin or whatever it is that's on top of that mountain that you're trying to get to. The truth be known, there may be a lot of people who died trying to get that cabin up there on the hill, trying to get there. Because of the weather and the hard work and exploring those places and understanding and knowing what's there. The mountain, we all want to be on the mountaintop, but sometimes when you're on the mountaintop, I want you to notice when they were on the mountaintop, they saw the challenge before them. But it was already a challenge to get to the top of the mountain. And life is a big challenge. Every time, every step we take, I wish I could tell you it was just going to be easy and you're never going to have any problems. But I'm telling you, sometimes the problems, it seems like in life, just get bigger, right? They just get bigger and more sometimes. There's more things to face. And if we're not careful, we'll get up on that mountain and say, man, I'm done. I already climbed the mountain. I can't do this again. I can't go back down the mountain into the valley. These men, the Bible says, they go up into the mountain. And verse 18 says, and see a land. And see the land. What it is and the people that dwelleth there, whether they be strong or weak, few or many. And what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad. And what cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds. As they're up in the mountain, they've already had to work to get to the mountain, but as they begin to look down, they see what they're about to face. It's amazing if you look down from a high spot and you see people and they look this big, you know, you're like, wow, they're only this big. But there's something about this mountain, there's something about them looking down when they see the children and they see the giants, they're saying, those aren't normal people. They aren't normal sized. And as they're on this journey, on this mission, they see that these people are not just any old ordinary people. It's not going to be just someone you go in and just push them over. It's going to be a battle. It's going to be a task. It's going to be a challenge. I think sometimes we when we get saved, we just think that, well, I've given my heart and life to Jesus, and now, man, everything's just going to be easy. Doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. Life, the Christian walk. You see, if you thought it was going to be easy, take one look at Jesus and ask me and tell me if Jesus' life and his journey was easy. He was born into a home with very little income. Wasn't wealthy. They weren't famous. They didn't have everything going for them, as some people would say. We'll look at someone and say, man, that kid, they got everything going for them. Their family, they got everything. Everything's all laid out for them. They'll never have to worry about anything. They'll never have to worry about income. They'll never have to worry about a home to live in. Jesus wasn't born into that. Not only was he not born into that, he had to endure. He endured the temptation from Satan in the wilderness. He endured the cross for you and I. Sometimes we're in that mountain. Sometimes things may look pretty good. But at other times, we may actually see what we're about to face. I want you to consider not only the mountain, but the ministry. The ministry that Moses has. Moses has a ministry here. It says in verse 20, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not, and be of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. I want you to notice Moses' ministry was to encourage those men. You go up into this mountain. You take this journey. And have good courage. Be filled with faith. That's that mountain moving faith we're talking about. Be filled with faith. Trust God. Go on the journey. His ministry is a ministry of encouragement. You realize most of us, every one of us here today, have a ministry that is supposed to be filled with encouragement. We're to encourage one another. God forgive us as a church and as individuals when we're not here encouraging one another. We're here discouraging one another. That's not what the church house is all about. Every one of us have needs. Every one of us have problems. And every one of us need the Savior. Every one of us need a place where we can come to the house of God and we can fit in, if you will. What's amazing about that is we're all to fit in, but we're all different. We're all different. We're all created by the same God, but we all have different likes and dislikes. We all have different abilities. You may not believe it. You may look around this morning, and God forgive you if you feel that way, but you may look around and say, well, that family, they don't have any abilities. They don't have anything going for them. Man, they're just troublemakers, or they just have this problem or that problem. And I want you to notice that God doesn't give up on us. Oh, we may not be the greatest or the most talented, or we may not be able to do certain things, but every one of us have been gifted by God and are a blessing. My wife on the way home last night, she says, honey, I'm going to miss those folks up in Erie. Every one of you are gifted and are talented. Every one of you have privileges and abilities. You may not have the highest IQ in the church. I don't know who has the highest IQ in the church. I have no idea. To be honest with you, I don't care. I don't even care who makes the most money in the church. I'm just glad that God's given you jobs and you have something. I'm glad that God has provided for us. And He'll continue to do that. It's a ministry of encouragement. Use what you have for the glory of God. Use the abilities, the talents that you have. I'm thinking some of the gifts, you know, that even that we received for Christmas. And you know, in all honesty, we're grateful and we're thankful for those gifts. But the greatest gift we'd have is family and friends who will support us, and we'll do the same. Encourage them. I had some family come and say, if you guys move, and whenever that is, just let us know, and we'd be glad to come help you. I said, well, it's always fun trying to get people's schedules together, isn't it? You know, hey, can you be here at this time? And one person can be here or there, and this person can be there. You never know, but thank God for some people who are encouraging. And that's what our ministry should be about. Teenagers, you're here to encourage one another. You're not here to pick best friends and pick, I'm going to like this person and we're only going to talk to the. You're here to be an encouragement to whoever God has put in your path. Adults, there's nothing wrong with having friends. You may pick some favorites here and there. I understand that. But you know what? We're all part of the body of Christ. You know what's interesting about this is, you may say, well, I don't really like this person, or I don't really like that person. Do you realize this? If you're both saved, maybe that's a big if. If you're both saved, you'll spend eternity with them. Eternity. We can't get along here on the earth, but we'll spend eternity with the people that rub us the wrong way. The little pet peeves that we have, they rub us the wrong way. Oh, I don't know about them. You know what, our life and our ministry should be a ministry of encouragement. That's everybody included. Pastor, assistants, deacons, trustees, Sunday school teachers, laymen in the church, lay women in the church. Our job is to be an encouragement to others. It's amazing. Many times that's not the case, but Moses tries to encourage the children of Israel in the ministry. I want you to notice not only the ministry, but I want you to notice the measure. The measure. In verses 20 down through verse 25, we see the measure. It says, now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. So they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Sin unto Rehob, as men come to Hamath. And they ascended by the south and came unto Hebron, where Ahiman, Shishai, and Talmai, the children of Anak, were. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. And they came unto the brook of Eshcol and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes. And they bare it between two upon a staff. And they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs. The place was called the brook Eshcol. We sing songs about that today, by the way, because of the cluster of grapes with which the children of Israel cut down from thence, and they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. We're not going to get into the 40 days, but that's also an interesting number. It's an interesting number in the Word of God. A lot of things happen with the number 40. They wandered for 40 days. They were searching for, or wandered for 40 years. They searched for 40 days. Jesus was tempted in the wilderness for 40 days. There's a lot of things that 40, but we'll not spend a lot of time on that. I want you to consider the measure of what God wanted to give them. God wanted to give them something like they had never seen before. The grapes, where the grapes of Eshcol grow. Those grapes, the clusters of grapes, were so large. It's amazing. I mean, grapes are something we can talk about around this area, isn't it? I mean, really, there's grapes everywhere. You drive down Route 20 or Route 5 or any of those. Man, there's just grapes everywhere. I know that was something that was amazing to us. And there's grapes everywhere. They don't have to go down 5 or 20. They're everywhere around here. But it was amazing to us as you drive and all you could see for miles and miles, it seemed like, were grapes. And I've seen some pretty amazing grape harbors and people out working in those grapes and working with those things. But I've never seen any so big that one cluster would have to be carried between two beams with two poles, essentially, and between two men. Imagine that. How large is the measure of what God has for us. If we're just faithful to walk through the door and to follow Him by faith, God has some great things for us. But that doesn't mean there's not going to be great battles to be able to get those things and to get to those blessings. But God has some wonderful things for us. It's amazing what people will do. They'll drive through 2 feet of snow to get to grandma's house so they can get their birthday presents or Christmas presents. Jesus' birthday's presents, right? We'll drive 300 miles to be able to get back for Christmas so we can enjoy the presents and the gifts. But we won't walk 2 blocks to share the gospel with our neighbor. If it's snowing outside, we aren't going. We're going to stay in. We'll just stay here and watch TV. Sit on my recliner in the comforts of my home rather than going out and trying to minister to our neighborhood. The measure that God would have. And we wonder why, as Christians, we're discouraged, we're defeated, we're down, we're depressed. Why? I don't understand. As we get stuck in this pity party and all we see is the giants or the mountains around us and we say, we can't do that. We can't win that battle. We can't fight that battle. We might as well just stay right here. It's easier to just stay right here. One of the reasons I don't go to a lot of football games, well, there's several reasons. Well, one of the reasons I don't go to professional football games, the main reason is because they're on Sundays. Okay? Second main reason, probably because they cost too much. I can't afford them. But the third reason I don't go is because, to be honest with you, it's easier to just sit in my recliner and watch the football game. It's warm. It's the temperature I want it to be in my house. If I'm cold, I can throw a blanket on. If I'm hot, I can throw the blanket on the floor and throw it on one of the kids or whatever. I can give it to them. If I want to go to my refrigerator and get something to eat, I can go to my refrigerator and get something. If I want to go to my cupboard and get some chips and I want to eat some chips while I'm on, I can do it. When I'm at the ball game, I can't afford it, right? You go there and it's like $5.75 for a cup of pop or something, or a bottle of pop or something. What? Are you kidding me? But at home, I didn't have to drive all the way to Pittsburgh. I just walked across the parking lot. See what I'm saying? It's much easier to just stay at home. Sometimes the view's better because if you got up in the nosebleed section, you can't tell whose team it is. Is that our team? What happened? Where'd the ball go? I don't know. You can't tell. On TV, guess what? They got these big cameras. They got them now that run across the top of the stadium so that you can see exactly what's going on from all different angles. Man, some guy makes a catch on the end line or in the end zone. They've got 27 different views to show you whether that guy caught the ball or not. Man, that's amazing. At the game, you only got one or two views. So what are you trying to say? I didn't have to pay for gas to drive all the way to Pittsburgh. I just walk across the parking lot. Church pays the electric, so I guess I don't have to worry about it, right? That was supposed to be a joke. You were supposed to laugh. Okay, thank you. You laughed. You laughed because I told you to laugh. Anyways, you see what I'm saying? It's easier to stay in the comforts of your home sometimes. Most of the time. Many times it's cheaper. You realize how much cheaper it is to eat at home than it is to go eat out. I'm not telling you not to go eat out. I'm just telling you it's cheaper. So what do? I stay at home. What do you do many times? You stay at home. Well, I guess I'll suffer through the macaroni and cheese today. Right? Oh, I guess peanut butter and jelly's okay, considering it's going to cost $25 or $30 to go to McDonald's, right? And it'd probably be better for me anyways to eat peanut butter. All right? At least my arteries won't be clogged. I hope nobody works at McDonald's. Hope nobody owns a McDonald's in here. Anyways. But it's easier. You say, what are you trying to say, Pastor? What are you getting at? You know what? That's the problem with a lot of Christians today. It's easier to just stay in our homes. It's easier to mind our own business than it is to go tell somebody about Jesus. It's easier to mind our own business or just stay out of the middle of things. But God has a measure of blessing for us that, let me say this in closing, God, I believe without a shadow of a doubt here this morning that God has a measure of blessing for Southside Baptist Church that is waiting for us if we're willing to go get it. You know what's amazing about salvation? The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. It is a free gift, but if all you're going to do is sit on your couch, you'll never receive it. You have to accept it. You have to reach forth and say, Lord, I want you as my Savior. I'm receiving you as my Savior. I have to go get it. And as the song says, I want that mountain. If you got a mountain you want in your life for Jesus Christ, then go get it. Go get it. Go do the work. Put forth the effort. I'll tell you what, when you put forth the effort, it's far more rewarding. I know this in my own life. If somebody gives me something, I'm grateful and I'm thankful for it. But I know for myself and just for me, if I've worked hard for it, it means so much more to me. I love gifts. I'm grateful for gifts. Don't take it the wrong way. But I'm telling you, is if I've worked and I've saved for it and I've spent years trying to put this money together to buy something, I'm telling you what, it means something to me. Because I've had to go work for it and God's blessed. Sometimes people will give you a gift and you may say, man, that really means something to me because it came from so-and-so. I understand that's not what I'm saying, but for me, when I know I've put my best and I've done my best for Jesus and God blesses me because of it, man, it's so rewarding. It's so rewarding when God says, go up into that mountain, go seek me, go do what needs to be done. And we go up into that mountain, we seek him and God shows us his will and he blesses. We see the blessings of God, the measure that God has waiting for us. God has a cluster of things waiting for you and I. It doesn't mean they're going to be easy to get. It doesn't mean they're just going to be right there for us. But he wants us to go get that mountain. Caleb, later on in the Word of God, and says he wants this mountain. And Joshua tells him, go up and get it if you want it. If you want that mountain, you want to go up, you go up and get it. You're going to have to go up there and cut those trees down. Joshua said, I ain't going up there and cutting them down for you. And Caleb, when he was 80 years old, was as strong as he was when he was 40 years old, when he's out searching. And he goes up and he gets that mountain. God has a measure of blessing for every one of us if we're willing to go get it. The problem is most of us would rather sit back and hope that God just lays it on us. I'll be honest with you, he's so merciful and gracious that at times he does, but I believe he has more. I believe he has more waiting every one of us if just our measure of faith would be willing to take that step of faith and to do what God would have us to do. If you want to hear the rest of the message, I guess you're going to have to come this afternoon, so we've run out of time, but God has so much waiting for us. So much. So much prepared for us. So much waiting for us. The problem is we're waiting to get it. Let's go get it. Let's go serve God. Let's stop talking about it and going and doing it. Getting faithful and active and busy in the work of the Lord.